Good morning, it's Maryland Morning on 88.1. I'm Sheila Cast. Baltimore has a lot of pressing infrastructure issues. Leaky sewers, decaying bridges, lots of other transportation needs. And there's another important item to add to the list, digital infrastructure, the cables and wires that connect city residents to the internet. If you look at a map of super high-speed internet availability in central Maryland, you'll see Baltimore surrounded by opportunities to connect to the latest fiber optics networks. But in the city itself, it's a different story. There is no residential fiber optic service. A new draft report from a task force on moving the city forward into a digital future calls for expanded broadband access throughout the city. I spoke about it with the co-chair of that task force, Deputy Mayor Colin Tarbert. With Baltimore still recovering from the unrest in April, I asked him how technological investment fits into the city's long-term plan to reinvigorate itself.
Well, I think that broadband and technology is integral to all the different aspects of city government and moving our city forward. It really touches all aspects of city life, from transportation to workforce development to economic development. And so ensuring that we're maximizing our use of technology in the city, whether it's through more efficient government services or literally using broadband to connect our residents to the internet, is part and parcel of moving our city forward.
Well, I can imagine some people listening to us are saying, doesn't Baltimore have a lot more pressing problems right now?
I think we do, but I think in the same vein, the broadband aspect and technology helps address a lot of those issues. So when we talk about workforce development, having community job hubs and the technology in the community is serving a dual purpose. So I think it's a means to an end to be able to have broadband and connect residents to the latest technology and also train them in how to use the technology, because that will help us create more workforce-ready residents.
Last September, we spoke with Phil Spivak from the Baltimore Broadband Campaign. They're trying to get faster, cheaper internet into Baltimore using the fiber optic networks. And we asked how the city can help do that. Here's what he said.
The potential to fiber providers in Baltimore hasn't been entirely clear. And that's why one of the reasons we started our campaign. We think that where fiber providers go in, their businesses, they want to know that they're going to make money on their investment. And we think that that hasn't been demonstrated sufficiently in the city for them to be attracted.
What is the city doing to attract more companies to invest in technological infrastructure?
Well, it's an interesting question. Economic development was one of the aspects that we looked at as the task force, and we had private sector businesses, both large and small, on the task force. And it's market driven, and so in the areas where there's customers and business, we don't see a lack of broadband. I think in some aspects, there's certainly room for more service, which ultimately hopefully would lead to lower prices. And so part of this report and part of the plan is to be able to show Baltimore has a coordinated effort in broadband, that we do have maps of our infrastructure, and that we are interested in this issue. So I think just putting out the report and talking about our next steps has piqued the interest of the private sector in working with us.
Included in the task force report is an appendix from another report by Magellan Advisors, a consultant business, with a list of recommendations. And one of those is to leverage the city's fiber optic network to provide greater capacity and potential savings to Baltimore City Public Schools. Can you give me a sharper picture of what that means?
Well, I think the goal in schools was certainly part of the task force, was really to have all the city schools connected on city fiber. Right now, they're not, and that would be a goal. And once they're connected to city fiber, I think there's more long-term savings. But it also gives us greater capacity to serve the students. More learning is becoming digital and online videos, et cetera, in the schools. So that's one opportunity to ensure that we have the capacity for the future of learning and to be able to plan for that. The other opportunity is to use some of the city facilities if they're connected to city fiber for potential hub zones. So you could imagine having, you know, wireless in the community or maybe even around the school building that people could come and connect to.
As you look at the range of options the task force has pulled together in this report, how much are we talking about public investment, the city's investment?
This is really the first step in establishing sort of the broad goals and the themes that we want to look towards in terms of making Baltimore a smarter city. But there's a lot more work that needs to be done in terms of scoping what the existing assets are, scoping what the needs are, and that is work to come.
That's Baltimore Deputy Mayor Colin Tarbert, co-chair of a task force that wants to know what the public thinks of its draft reports calling for expanded high-speed internet in the city. Public comments can be submitted for the next 3 weeks. We've got more information, including where to comment, on our website, wypr.org/Maryland Morning. On 88.1, I'm Sheila Cast. This is Maryland Morning. Now let's pick up on that thread of our conversation with Colin Tarbert, investing in technology in schools. As executive director of the Digital Harbor Foundation, Andrew Coy has many ideas about how tech can transform our schools. Andrew Coy, welcome back to the show.
Thank you, Sheila. Nice to be back.
Now, how important would you say it is that we connect schools to a high-speed fiber optic network?
Absolutely essential, right? The opportunities that exist out there for young people to learn are online. And if we're not connected to that, what are we preparing youth for?
And fiber optics is the way to go.
It is absolutely essential that they're connected.
What could that do for learning?
Sure. So the transformations that are happening right now in the ed tech space are pretty transformational. What you see happening and what needs to happen, however, goes beyond just changing how students are learning to helping them become the creators of technology.
I'm not sure I get that.
So you can, if you talk about education technology and you're just focused on delivering the same content in an online format, so a textbook on an iPad, that is not transformational. That is just changing
that. That is efficient, perhaps, but not transformational.
And it's not necessarily even efficient, right? Textbooks cost less to make than an iPad. But what if you change it so that a young person is creating a piece of technology, they are becoming the producer, the maker of that. That is transformational. It empowers the young person. And in today's world, if you're not connected to the internet, you are not going to become a creator of technology. And all the jobs that are out there, you know, require a higher degree of tech proficiency than ever before. So if we're not even connecting young people in our city schools to these to the internet at high speeds, we're not preparing them for the jobs that are already here, much less the ones that are going to be here in 5 or 10 years.
So what are the most important tech investments you think need to be made in schools?
Yeah, I think there's three main categories of tech investments that I would classify. One is the actual pipes that go into the systems, right? As the deputy mayor was speaking about, connecting schools to these high-speed internet pipelines is absolutely essential. Second is what the city is looking at with the community school movement to really help a physical space be used not just during a few hours of the day, but also after school by the community itself and connecting opportunities for the community to come in and utilize these resources that sit dormant for a number of hours every afternoon and evening. And the third thing that I would say is essential to invest in are community spaces, these informal learning opportunities. So if you think about, you know, who even invented the internet, it was people who were tinkering and making and exploring in informal opportunities. They weren't, wasn't part of a classroom assignment. So how are we creating opportunities for today's young people to be the inventors and the creators, and where are they doing that? So what are we doing to invest in informal learning opportunities and spaces, whether it's an old rec center turned tech center like that?
That's what you did, right? That's what Digital Harbor did two and a half years ago.
Absolutely, yeah. I was a classroom teacher who saw the city close down a rec center that was 2 blocks away from my school and said, this rec center could become a tech center and provide all sorts of opportunities after school, summertime, and even now during the school day when schools come on field trips to our location.
So you have, I understand, more than 300 young people participating in programs this summer.
Yep.
What are they learning?
Yeah, so the more than 300 youth that are coming through our summer camps are learning everything from video and film production and editing using green screens and other tools to 3D printing, They're learning electronics, soldering, and programming. It's a whole variety of hands-on. But most importantly, what they're doing is creating and being forced to answer the question, what do you want to make? So often they're told what to do and how to do and when to do it. But very rarely do we ever sit back and ask a young person, what's in your mind? What do you want to do? What do you envision? And then give them an opportunity and a space to create that. But to do so, they need access to the internet. They need access to these resources. This wealth of human knowledge is that out there that without access to that, you know, they're limited by what's in the four walls of the room they're sitting in.
So what do you see happening next? I mean, you've talked about transformations in this conversation. What is the next step of transformation?
Yeah, we need to build up the capacity of the physical spaces, because if they don't have access to internet, that's a barrier. But we also need to build out the human capacity. You know, thinking about how do we support our educators, teachers that are in the classrooms, you know, what are they being asked to do and how often are they being asked to perform, have students perform on a test instead of asking them to help young people become creative, productive individuals. You know, and I stepped out of the formal school system because of my desire to create a different model. But I think educators all across the spectrum are interested and want this. We just need to support them and provide a different vision, a different path forward. And that involves infrastructure physical, that involves human resource infrastructure, where we're teaching and supporting teachers.
Thank you. Thanks a lot.
Yeah, my pleasure.
Andrew Coy, he's executive director of the Digital Harbor Foundation. 2.5 years ago, they turned an old rec center into a tech center. We have links to more information on our website, wypr.org/Maryland Morning.